Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit.
What's good, Fatherhood? As an entrepreneur for the last 10 years, people always ask me how I'm able to do so much with my family while still hustling so hard. I still don't have the answer. I just do it. And today I wanted to talk to another dad that is everywhere, and I mean everywhere. I wanted to get familiar with how other busy dads get down, and I'm honored to have Clinton Sparks on the show. What's good, Clinton?
What's up, buddy, man? I appreciate that. And before we do anything, I want to thank you for being a great father and creating a platform to highlight fathers, because two things. One, we need more great fathers because there's a lot of shitty guys out there. And then two, we need to highlight those men that are great fathers.
That's right, man. Thank you. I appreciate you, man. Like, you're out there on Instagram showing the other side of the world, the business world, the music world, but then you still show props to your kids too, man. And I know that, you know, in marketing, people do that just to show it off. You're doing it because you care. So thank you, bro. I really appreciate that, for real.
Everything I do, even the businesses and, you know, the book I just wrote, everything I do is because I care. So I, you know, obviously we need to make a living, but I just have such a big heart when it comes to, like, you know, helping people, educating people, teaching people, supporting people. I've been doing it my whole entire career. So, you know, I do the same thing with my son and I'll do it with my daughter. My son is 16 now and I can literally see my presence in listening and talking and guiding and not directing, just kind of having conversations with him about, well, here's the situation, here are some potential outcomes, here's what I would do, but now that you understand what the outcomes could be, the pros and the cons, you decide what's best for you. That's how I treat my son, and I think I'm so proud of my son, not just because he's my son, but sometimes I just watch him in action and I'm just so proud of him as a man and becoming a man.
Did he ever do something that you would have done back in the days that made you laugh? Like you looked at him and you wanted to maybe scold him or tell him that's not the right way, but then it reminded you of you? like did that ever happen?
No, because, you know, it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, but no, because I've been so close. My son's like my best friend. So it's like, it's not like I'm a dad that's at work. I come home. I don't really know what my son's doing or what excites him or what he's interested in other than what he tells me. Like, I'm around, you know what I mean? So, like, I know what's going on. So he'll talk to me before he even would make a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So he's like, hey, Dad, you know, my friends are thinking of doing this. What do you think about that? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you think about it? You know what I mean? And then we'll have conversations. So no, it's not. We had completely two different lives. I mean, you're talking, I'm a guy that grew up with zero. We had roaches. We had no money. My father wasn't around. I was bullied and sexually abused. And, you know, my mom was working two jobs. And my son's like, you know, reaps the rewards of me saying I'm about to fucking murder the game at life because my life sucked when I was young.
Yeah.
So he reaps the rewards of, you know, me having houses and money and stuff like that. But at the same time, he's also not like an entitled, spoiled kid that doesn't recognize that. In fact, just yesterday, he called me in his room and he's like, I'm 16 now. Enough of me like dicking around and not like aiming at my future. Like, that was, you know, 13, 14, 15. And now it's time for me to start really hanging out with you more, Dad, going to meetings with you. I want to just travel with you. I want to soak up your game. I want to understand. I mean, he's already been, just by being around by default, he soaked up so much game that sometimes he'll talk and say things to me. And I'm like, man, how do you know that? And then I'm thinking like, oh, because he's around.
That's my right? Boy.
Yeah. And he's so smart. And like, what I love about him is that he's very rational, logical, and he's not stubborn. He's open-minded, and he's a resolver like me. Mm-hmm. So he's not trying to be right. He's just trying to find right for everybody.
Oh, I love it, man. I you know, I had a slew of questions for you, bro, and we broke the mold, man, and that's what I like. I like that you came in here and you made me have to readjust, right? And I want to readjust by asking you, how did you build that trust with your son, bro? Because you said that there's a trust there. There's a superb trust. How can a father go out there and still be busy, right? Like still get down and get their hustle on, but still build that trust? Like, how do you think you did it?
I know you don't think there is, but that question has like five questions in it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's really a lot of like, you're asking me like, what kind of couch do I put in before you even ask me how to build the house?
Yeah.
Right. So in order, before you can, you know, get the right couch, AKA your kid, mm-hmm. you have to build the right house, AKA yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. So you really got to have a lot of self-awareness. You got to know how, there's a lot of things, self-awareness, emotional intelligence, time management. You know, there's a lot of things, and like to really become a great parent, you have to be a great you, and you have to realize what makes you not great, and then people only point out and recognize and want to convey what makes them awesome. Nobody ever really tells you like where they suck, right? So like, you know, you gotta really sort that out, because you know we all have, people have issues. They have, you know, whether they were sexually abused, they were beat by their dad, or they didn't have any family, or their mother was on crack, or whatever it is, right? And they carry that to becoming an adult. And most of the world is so focused on their own pain and hurt and trauma that they never realize the things around them that they're in charge of now. And by them not, you know, cleaning out their closet and sorting themselves out, they're now projecting and dumping and throwing up some of their shit onto them, mm-hmm. and or are so blinded by it, they don't see the responsibility that they should be taking, because they're over here trying to, you know, they're worried about themselves. Like, we can go on a whole conversation just about that.
Oh, I mean, true. It's true, though, because what you're saying is, before you could build that trust or help build your child, you have to fix yourself. And this is something that I tell a lot of dads, like a broken dad can't serve their kids 100%, because there's still something there that you're trying to figure out that you don't even know you need to figure out. So what you're saying is figure yourself out, like get right.
A broken dad creates a broken home, creates a broken kid. So, you know, you got to fix your shit, man. But yeah, so let's assume that you have your shit together, you know, and let me just elaborate on that for a second too. Like anytime you hear a guy say something like, because the mom, let's just say you're not in good terms with the mom anymore. Yeah. Right. And you're so angry at the mom because she's trying to take money from you, or she's putting the kids against you and all those type of things. Like, you got to put that aside. That's a separate relationship, and compartmentalize the fact that I don't like my kid's mom to like, but I love my kid. Yeah. Right. So a lot of times they get jumbled in between. So when a guy is like, man, F her, or like, man, I would be with my kids if she didn't cause all these problems. It's like, that's a completely separate situation. Your problems with her should have no effect on your relationship or how you treat your kids.
Yeah, that's like, a fact.
I could break up my wife right now, and I could hate her to death. Doesn't mean I'm not going to treat my daughter with the same love, respect, and care and time that I would if I was with her mom. Mm-hmm. You know, and her mom being mean to me or upsetting me or taking me to court or whatever that could be would never, ever affect my love and my relationship with my daughter. And I think that's what a lot of people get caught up in. That's where a lot of guys in particularly kind of just, man, I'm out. And they just go do their own thing.
Yeah, they get frustrated. It's like they get frustrated and just say, yo, screw this.
Yeah, it's like, and then they blame the mom on why they're not a good parent. That's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with it. Yeah. So now I got that out of the way with, which we could go on about.
that was awesome, bro. That was great, man. That's real right there, man. I love it. Thank you.
So how I built my trust was, you know, always keeping open line of communication, talking to him about things. Like I said, like not telling him who to be, but showing him who he could be, mm-hmm. right? And not telling him how to feel, but asking him how he feels. You know what I mean? So those are the things, like when you're not going at somebody, then they're much more open. They don't have their guard up. And, you know, they're more willing to listen to you because they don't feel like you have your own set of rules that you're trying to mold them to follow. Mm-hmm. So when they don't feel like you're just trying to make me do it your way, and then you give them advice, receive it different than when you like, he's only telling me that because that's the way he would do it. And maybe he doesn't respect you as a business guy. Maybe he doesn't respect you as a man. Maybe he wants you cheat on his mom. Maybe he wants to. So when you're giving him advice that's according to how you would do it, then it's less valuable.
Yeah.
When you just give information and you show pathways and you open up the lanes for them to look and run down themselves and give them opportunities and options, then it's like, that's where the trust builds. Because it's like, yo, I don't have no agenda. I'm not trying to make you a little me. I'm not trying to make you do it my way. I'm showing you all the ways that are available, and you can decide. And whatever you decide, I'll be there to support it. And if you fail, I'll be there to lift you up. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where the trust comes in. Then, obviously, I'm a little bit different than other dads where, like, there's a cool factor, and I know what's going on in pop culture because of all the things that I do. So there's also a little bit of trust there when I tell him, like, nah, that's not dope. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, he knows you're in it. Yeah, he knows you're in it.
Yeah, yeah. So, but all the other stuff I just said applies to any dad. It doesn't matter if you're a CEO or you're a garbage man. It's all like, don't tell them how to feel. Ask them how they feel. Don't tell them who to be. Ask them who they want to be. And
yeah.
Support it.
How hard is it for you to sit there with your son, right, and notice when you mess up? Like, is that something difficult for you? Like, you've done some tremendous things. Like, you've changed the game in many ways, right? Has there been a time when you sat with him and he's telling you, nah, this is wrong? You tell him, no, you're wrong. And then later on you say, damn, I kind of fucked up. Like, maybe I was wrong. Like, how would you approach that? Like, to continue building that trust, you know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, yeah. There's well, I was going to be funny about it because usually he'll say it'll be about, like, something I wore or the way I wore my hair.
Oh, he's talking about the jeans, bro? He wants you with skinnies or he wants you with baggies, bro? What's good?
No, I mean, I guess the most important life thing that he told me that in hindsight he was right was me being a peacemaker and always wanting to make things right is... he would tell me to stop communicating with his mom mm-hmm. when I would try to, like, keep the peace and co-parent with her. And he would always warn me, like, Dad, it's going to get you in trouble with your new wife, or this is going to happen, or mm-hmm. she's never going to change, or she's not going to listen. And it did get to a point where I almost did lose, you know, my wife now, because she couldn't understand my mentality of, like, I'm just trying to keep things peaceful. Yeah. And, like, meanwhile, her and my son are sitting there saying, what are you doing? All she does is crap on you. All she does is lie. All she does. Why? You're willing to risk losing me to try to keep things cool with someone that already tried to destroy you? You know what I mean? And, like, I guess I was blind to that because I always feel like there's a resolution. I always feel kindness wins in the end. Mm-hmm. So I risked losing the beautiful love I have now to try to make a peaceful, civil relationship between me, my ex, and our son, which I learned my lesson, and both my son and my ex were both telling me, and it got to a point where I almost lost it, and even my son was like, Dad, you're ruining everything now, and, you know, there was a wake-up call that I was, that's the one big thing in life that my son was definitely right and gave me advice, and I should have listened, and he was right in the end.
Yeah, I think that's dope though, because that shows that there's humility there, right? Where it's like, yo, I'm your dad, but you could talk to me, and because you're talking to me and letting me know that, yo, maybe this isn't the right course, now we could build that real bond. You know what I mean? Where now they're not afraid to challenge you, right? Because I think a lot of dads, I know my dad from the '80s, they reigned with fear. It wasn't with respect. It was like, yo, you're going to be afraid of me. If you do something wrong, I'm smacking you. You know what I mean?
I don't think that works. The other thing is, too, I don't subscribe to just because you're the parent, you're right.
Yeah.
Right? So, and, you know, sometimes, like, why, Dad? Why? Because I said so. Yeah, but why? Because I'm the parent and you don't question me. I think that's an awful way to parent, because they're asking why so they can understand, mm-hmm. right? So that's where that right then and there is your job as a parent to then talk to them and say, well, I don't want you to go to this party because of this, this, and this. Right. And, well, I don't understand that. Da, da, da. Well, let me explain to you more. Here's da, da, da. Here's da, da, da. And me and my son have had many of those conversations where it ended up with him saying, ah, that makes sense. I get it. All right. Yeah, you're right, Dad, actually. You know what I mean? But, like, if I was to say, you're not going and that's it, he'd be in his room, resentful towards me, angry he didn't get to go to the thing he wanted to go to, and that would, like, push us further apart. But when you sit there and talk, you can find a common ground. And then maybe he can even, start weighing in like, okay, well, Dad, I see what you're saying about this, but what if I do this instead? Then you're like, oh yeah, that will work. And then it's like, all right, dope. High five. We resolved it together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So now going back to like the you said earlier, like the spoiled brat side, right? That they don't become spoiled brats. Like you get to do some really cool things. Like I saw that you helicoptered into Rob Dedrick's party, bro. Like how crazy is that? How do you keep your kids humble, bro?
I don't know, man. Like I a little bit of that is just, you know, look, you might have an alcoholic father, right? And you may become an alcoholic like him, or you become the exact opposite and never drink like me, right?
Yeah.
So I think that my son is not, he's not moved by social media. He's not excited about like fame or influencers or like that world. Like he's not into it at all. Mm-hmm. So, I think because it was so my life that he didn't want to do that. Like we would literally be going to meet some of the biggest celebrities, like, oh, come over and just say hi to Beyonce or something. Like, no, Dad, I don't want to.
What?
I'm like, just come say hi and take a picture. And he'd be like, no, nah, I don't want to take a picture.
That's like, dope. You know, that's dope.
I'll give you a perfect example. The greatest thing my son ever said to me, which made me realize how super of a human being he was his mom bought him a pair of Gucci sneakers. Mm-hmm. And he would never wear them to school. And then after like, I don't know, a month or two, I'm like, dude, how come you never wear your Gucci sneakers to school? And he was like, ah, I don't want to flex on other kids at school that can't afford it.
Ooh, so, I like that. And I was like that.
Right then and there, I was like, ah, this is a super dude.
Yeah, like what did you tell him when he said, I don't want to flex on him? Like, did you give him some guidance as to, yo, you know, you could still flex and not make him feel bad? You know what I mean? Like, you could still have things?
Well, I hugged him when he said that, and, you know, because I really loved where his heart was at, and that he didn't want to make other people feel bad. But then I also told him, but you also shouldn't feel bad that you have parents that worked really hard or, you know, that you're doing great things. Now, if you were out here flossing and then online talking about you're doing killer shit and everybody knows you're not, your dad got it for you, that's whack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, you know, you can't be... Don't feel bad that, you know, you have a good life. You know what I mean? Don't feel bad that you have nice things because your dad worked hard. In fact, be like, you know, be proud of your dad.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If someone talks shit to you, then be like, look, kid, my dad worked really hard. He came from this background. He worked really hard. These are the things he wants to do it for me. You know what I mean? And I love my dad and I respect and honor my dad. I want to do these things for my dad. I want to wear things my dad gets me because he got it for me and I love him and it makes him feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So no, he's just a good dude, man.
I love it. I love it. How do you make sure not to put pressure on your kids to be like dad? Because you've done so much, you know, you've helped so many people from Akon to some of the dopest artists out there. How do you teach them to be them? Like, be proud of who you are.
Well, there was a point, to be honest, when he was like 14, that I did put some pressure on him. I'm like, man, like you got a laptop, you got a computer, you got things that people would kill for. You
that
got
we
all
never
this
had.
Stuff.
That we never had.
Yeah, you got all this stuff, and you're just sitting in your room doing nothing, right? So there was like a little point where, well, I didn't say it like that, but that was the premise.
That was the gist. Yeah, nice.
But,
that was in your head right there.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, hey, man, like, you know, I used to try to ask him to come to meetings just so he could meet people and start soaking up game. Or I used to like be like, hey, you know, my buddy, he does e-com. If you want to get on your computer, and he'll show you. Or I'd bring over like a great engineer to show him how to, you know, use Pro Tools on his laptop. Maybe you want to be a producer. And, like, I gave him all of these opportunities and options. And there was a point where he seemed miserable, and he finally broke down and was like, yo, you're putting too much pressure on me. Mm. Like, you're making me feel like at 15, I need to already be, you know, super successful, own a business, da da da. And that was me getting a little bit caught up in one of who I am. Like, I'm just a self-motivated, hardworking, overachiever type of dude. And then two, looking out here and seeing all these young entrepreneurs that are really gaining a lot of success because of the access that they have with the internet. And I'm like, man, I didn't work this hard to give you and provide you all these things for you to waste them. Like, get to work. And that was kind of my mentality. And, you know, he let me know how much pressure I was putting on him. And me and my wife, actually, we're both like, we're down here like, man, we're just trying to make you killer, man. We're just trying to make you see what you can be. And we didn't realize how much pressure that was putting on him. And he came down and explained it to us one day. And literally from that day on, me and my wife both changed exactly how we approach him. And we never leaned on him ever again. And now here we are 2 years later, he's leaning on himself. He found it himself.
How hard was that not to lean on him? Because I think a lot of dads feel that pressure. Like, I feel that pressure. Like, I'm, you know, I used to do my thing in tech. And I look at my son and I'm like, man, like, you could code. You have all this access to some of my friends, some of my genius friends. And all you want to do is play Fortnite. So how hard is it for you to not put that pressure on them? Like, how long did it take you to be comfortable with not putting pressure? Because I'm pretty sure to this day, there's still some certain days that you're like, man, am I pushing them a little too hard? You know what I mean?
No, it didn't take anything. It was that one conversation that changed it all.
That's gangster, man. I like that because it's hard. It's hard to do that.
Well, it's a hard thing for parents to do is to shut up and listen to their kids.
Yeah.
Plus, he also got... my wife just reminded me, he also went and got a job. And when he went and got a physical job at a restaurant, I literally overnight seen he does have that drive. He just needed the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. He was like, dude, he'd get right up, like get to work. His boss called me like the second day. Like, he was like, man, I'm not saying this because he's your son. I got people that worked me for years that are not as good as your son after 2 days.
Oh, I
so
love it.
So I realized in that moment that he'll find his own killerness at what he wants to do.
And I think that's a testament to you, too, though, because I think that's a testament to what you were saying earlier, where you're not just telling them, you're showing them. Where, yo, I'm showing you how I move. I'm showing you how I hustle. I'm showing you that the world is full of opportunities. Now it's on you to go do it yourself. And he seems to he probably caught on.
My wife also is a killer, too. So she's... You know, he looks at her and me and sees how we both work, how we operate, how we respect and love each other. You know, we have an 18-month-old baby, which is his sister, sees how great of a parent we are. So, like, you know, he literally said it to me. He goes, he literally said last night, I don't want to be a loser. I want to be a killer. And I was like, look it, bro. I don't know what your definition of those two things are, but a killer is just going after and working hard for the things that you want to do and become. A loser isn't somebody that doesn't win or doesn't succeed, because we all lose, right? A loser, you know, like the age old adage, the old adage goes, like, a loser isn't somebody that tries and fails. A loser is someone that fails and just quits and doesn't keep trying. So, you know, he won't quit.
He got that perseverance already. He got that on lock.
Right. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier when, you know, if you have the conversation and you listen. You know, I think parents worry too much about their kids' future that they feel like it's their job to mold it for them. And it's like, nobody molded me. Nobody was around to guide me. And look at me, I became a killer. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and that's another thing about me too. So that makes me different than maybe somebody else that's not happy where they are in life. So they're sitting there saying, I want you to be better than me. You know what I mean? Like, to be better than me would be a really fucking tough thing to do, man. So if you want to be better than me, like, go at it, and I'll be here to support it. But I think a lot of parents, you know, are fearful that their kids won't amount to much like they feel about themselves. Yeah. I'm happy with me. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with what I'm doing. So, you know, that it's different for me to give this answer than somebody else that may be working a 9-to-5 that's struggling and hates their life.
Yeah, no, I love it because I read somewhere that your pops wasn't that your mom and pops divorced early in your life, right? And was he involved like that, or was he to the side?
No, my dad, I didn't hang out with my dad. So my dad left when we were like four, when I was like four or five, and then he never lived with us. And like, you know, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but nah, he wasn't involved at all. Mm-hmm. But then my mom sent me to live with him when I was 15 because I was a criminal and I was getting in trouble with the law too much. And she was tired of getting me out of police stations. So she sent me with my dad when I was 15 and I lived with him throughout high school. But, you know, like, you know, he's still my dad. The way that I looked at my dad was wasn't real. I looked at my dad as something I wanted him to be, and it, more than what he actually was.
So you wanted him to be like the superhero, stand up dude, but he wasn't fulfilling those things. Is that what you're trying to say? Like at that moment, at least.
I don't know, man. It'd be too much. It would be too long of a road to go down.
we can squash that, bro.
If I point out my feelings about my dad.
No, we can squash that, man. The real question for me is how did that influence how you move now with your own kids? Like, I think that's the bigger question, because you mentioned earlier that sometimes, especially the dudes, because my brother is just like this, their past kind of like push their future, right? In a bad way. And sometimes you just want to stand there and tell them, yo, dogs, that was the past. Now it's up to you to change your future. So,
yeah, so
how did he lead you to being a dad? Like, how did he lead you to step your game up as a dad?
Because I've seen, this applies to dad and life and business and everything, what I'm about to say. Mm-hmm. You know how you don't want to feel, and you know the things that made you feel bad throughout your life.
Yeah.
So why would you ever want to be the cause of that feeling for somebody else? Yeah. So, and that's basically what happened to me. Like, I knew from a very early age, and since I was 10 years old, my only two goals in life were to make people happy and one day be an awesome dad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how it helped me is I seen what not to be. But my dad showed me what not to be as a man, as a father, as a husband. You know what I mean? Like, I watched, like, I'm going to write a book at some point called Thanks, Dad. Mm-hmm. And it's literally about thank you for not being there, because I became the great guy who I like because of you not being there.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think it goes for a lot of men, especially a lot of celebrity friends I have. Their dads weren't around, and then they grow up and become amazing, successful dads. Yeah. Like, what's the psychology behind that?
They know what's lacking. It's like you said earlier, they know what's lacking, and they know what was missing and what they want to be now.
Right. Some people have a chip on their shoulder, and they go through their life like, I ain't have shit. Fuck you. Done. Like I said earlier, like, they just got this woe is me. They just carry this trauma around forever, and they make their past excuses why they're not successful in their present. And they're just resentful towards everybody, and they got a chip on the shoulder. Then you've got other people like me and many others that see, you know, them being shitty was the greatest lesson ever. Because I'm glad that somebody was shitty, because it showed me how not to be shitty or how not to make somebody else feel shitty. So
yeah, I love it. You know, you don't get to over 75 million tracks sold without putting in work, right? When you first started, you wanted to put others on. Eventually, you realized that you had to put yourself on. How are you teaching your kids about both? Because I think that's something that a lot of us try to do. Like with my business, not in fatherhood, but in tech, I was always busy about putting somebody on, and I forgot about myself. You know what I mean? And it's like, how do you teach your kids that you could put a light on somebody, let them shine, but you could also shine with them? Like, how do you go about doing
right,
that?
Right. So in my new book, How to Win Big in the Music Business, that you can get at winbiginmusic.com, mm-hmm. I have a whole chapter that I talk about that. And one of the lines at the end of the chapter says, because people are so busy being great, they think in order for them to be great, they have to be greater than someone else or make somebody else not great.
Yep.
It's the whole winner and loser mentality, right? Like, I obviously can't be winning if you're winning too, so I got to make sure you lose.
Yeah, which is whack as hell.
Right. So the last line, even goes to dads. There are some dads that are jealous that their kids are doing better than them.
How crazy is that, bro?
You know what I mean?
Like, how crazy is that, man? That's some selfish-ass shit.
That's why I was saying earlier, like, we can go into the whole mentality of, like, people, but that would be a five-hour call. Yeah. But in the chapter at the end, I say helping others be great is being great. But people don't recognize that. You know, and it sounds like you're one of these people. You're a giver. You're a connector. I got a bunch of friends that always look out for other people. They're always there to help people, and they don't reap the rewards or the benefits of being that great for everybody else. And I always get mad. I don't get mad at him because he's got a great heart for doing good for others. I get mad at the people that aren't beautiful back and see, like, man, look what this dude did for you. You're just not even going to look out for him. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't say change your heart or your mind about your willingness to give and help others. I would just put up safeguards and I would put boundaries around that. And one of the things that I really am an ambassador for is your happiness and defending it. You know, a lot of people always talk about chasing happy and I just want to do this to be happy. And they got these things in their mind that they think if they accomplish it, they're now going to get to this world of happiness. I mean, whether it's I get a bunch of money, I get the girl that I like, I get the house or the car that I like or the job. And they feel like, okay, then I'm going to be happy. They're always chasing this never-ending journey of happy because even when you get those things, 99% of the world is still chasing, yeah. Right? So, you know, you have to build a realistic life of what happiness. Like, I'm extremely happy. I couldn't be happier with my wife, my kids, my house, my family, my job, my health. Like, I don't need anything else, right? So, like, and I built that by design. But the thing that we do and we practice as a family now is we defend our happy. Nobody really worries about defending it. They just try to go get it. And then it's just like the doors are open. There's no ADT service on it. Anybody can come in and just start penetrating your happy and dump shit all over it. But you have to like defend that happy. And what do I mean by that is, you know, if you have toxic family members, just don't have them around. If you got friends around, if you work at a job that you hate, if, you know, you guys are disagreeing about something, like fix that shit. You know what I mean? So like, it's really hard to get to happy, but it's really easy to lose it. And so that's why you really have to build boundaries and defend it. So, you know, to the direct question of how do I teach my son how to be, how to help others be great while continuing to pay attention and be cognizant of his own greatness is once you build that nucleus of happy, it doesn't matter what somebody else does or doesn't do for you. Your happiness always shines. So when you're doing good for others, you're not even doing it with expectations to get things in back. In fact, doing it for others is part of what makes you happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's where I get joy. And that's what I want my kids to know, where it's like, yo, the joy is me reaching out to Clinton. You know what I mean? Like, yo, we could be best of friends, but the joy is being able to talk to you and then bring you to other fathers that could learn from you. Like, it's not one track. You know what I mean? And it's something right. that I try to push with my son. And, you know, it's hard, man. It's hard because sometimes as fathers, like when you do things like this, when you chase the happiness and you dump the stuff that doesn't make sense, I feel like sometimes the kids lose the balance between communicating with people. And what I mean by that is like I've dumped a lot of people from my previous business that were only there because we were doing some great things in tech. And I don't talk to them as much. And now that my son sees that, I think he treats some of his friends like that. Where it's like, if you're not adding value, I don't really need to talk to you. But it's the total opposite. It's just, I'm not messing with them because I figured out they were trying to take away the happiness. Does that make sense?
Sorry, a phone call came in and put you on mute. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's all good.
No, I didn't go on. I didn't answer the call. Like, as you said, does that make sense? A phone call came in and like put you on mute.
It was the wake-up call.
it totally makes sense. You know, and I think the one key thing that all parents should do, and I rarely see any of them do this, and I do it with my son all the time, is ask them if they're happy. Mm-hmm. You know, most parents don't ever even take the time to worry about that because they're so focused on their bills, their job, their relationships, they're angry about something else, their kids pissing them off, they got to do this, and that, that they never stop and really genuinely care if their kid is happy. Of course, they care that their kid's happy, but they don't really dive deep into it to find out what makes them happy, what makes them unhappy. Maybe it's you. You know what I mean? Like, then you need to have a communication open enough that they can tell you that, well, you know what, Dad? Like, you make me unhappy. And then instead of fighting that, how do I make you unhappy? I do this. I put a roof over your head. And it's like, holy shit. What am I doing that's making someone that I love this much unhappy? And then fix that shit. So I ask my son all the time, are you happy? And, you know, I said earlier, like, that when I was 10, that my two biggest goals were to make people happy and be a great dad when I get older. And when my son was, like, 8, I was on the road because I travel a lot when I was DJing. And I'd be like, hey, man, I'm coming home this week. We're going to build a snow fort. We're going to have a sleepover, da-da-da, all this type of stuff. And he's all excited. We're talking about all the great things we're going to do. And then I was like, hey, Dad, hey, Jack, what are... what do you miss most about me when I'm gone? right? Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, even that question is an important question to ask. Like, ask questions like that, get in their head. But I said, what's the most important, what do you miss most about me? And he paused and he thought for a second and he said, you know, Dad, you just make everything happy.
you make it cheery. So like, you know, you so brighten like, up one, the day, man.
So one, I accomplished my goals in one moment, right there with my son. And then two, I got that thing drawn up on a big and framed it, and it's hanging in our house now in typewriter font that says, "You make everything happy, Jack Sparks." Because it's really hard to be not happy when you look at a sign like that.
Yeah. It's like a affirmation almost, right? When you're leaving that for them. That's dope, man.
But imagine that, like, how many parents can say that when their kids think of them, they think, my parent makes me happy?
I mean, the question alone is difficult. Like, not even difficult. It's one of those questions that we don't tend to ask much. Like, I would look at my son and just say, oh, he's a happy kid. It's harder for me to actually ask him.
And I'm sure the many kids that committed suicide, their parents would have said the same thing because they weren't mindful. They weren't paying attention.
So you got to take the minute. You got to take the time to actually ask. And I think that that's a big lesson for me, because for me, I look at my son and I say, man, like, you got it good. But how happy are you? Like, that smile is dope. I love seeing you smile real big, and I'm assuming you're happy. But we don't talk about that enough.
But look, this goes back to what I was saying. People are so caught up in their own trauma or hurt or pain. I'll give you a perfect example. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you have any pain from your past?
You know what? I would say not really. You know what? I refrain from that. I'm going to say yes. And the pain was that my dad was always there, but he wasn't there for graduation, wasn't there for the wedding, wasn't there for my child's birth. It was like the most important things where I was the featured presentation. He didn't show up because he chose the money. So that leads me not to do that to my kids. I'm there every time, bro.
So that's great. You learned a lesson. But here's the point that I was getting at. Frick, I lost my train of thought.
No, you were saying that there was like some trauma from the past.
So your dad was busy chasing the money because in his mind, which by the way, this goes way super deep. In his mind, he has his past. You know, in his past was created who he became and why he became who he is, right? So in his mind, he might feel the value that he brings to his family is working hard and putting food on the table, right? So he feels internally that brings him value to himself, right? Which feels more important than maybe being at an event. Because in his mind, you wouldn't even be at that event if he wasn't doing the thing that makes him valuable in the first place, right? So you're looking at him like, yeah, that money's cool, but I want time with you. But he doesn't get that. And then what that does is that now creates something in you, right? So then what do? You then hide your pain by what? Working too much, making people laugh, or putting on a smile and doing all these things, hiding that pain that you have that he created. But by the way, who knows? Maybe his dad created who he was.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going back and back and back.
It's a cycle.
Right? So I had a freaking point on why I was bringing this up, but when I lost my train of thought, I forget what you asked me that made me start to come up with this synopsis. What was the question you asked me?
I wanted to know, like for my son, like, I want him to, how do I rephrase it? I want to rephrase it.
No, we were talking about, you know, you just assume your kid is happy because you see them playing with their friends.
They're always smiling. They're always cheerful, but I never take the time to actually ask them.
The same way you go to work and you're a pleasant dude and you're helping people, everyone's just like, oh man, he's a really nice guy. He's a happy dude. He's so pleasurable to be around. They don't know what's going on or what hurt you have inside you because you put on a front.
Yep.
Just like your kid does by burying or escaping their alcoholic dad or their mean mom or some bully at school by going on social media, by playing video games, by hanging out with their friends. But then when they're home in their room alone, that pain sneaks up on them. Mm-hmm. And then that's where it makes the kid start like feeling depressed or feeling suicidal. And that's where the parent that one little spot right there is where the parent made a catastrophic mistake. They just assumed that their kid was living their life. I'm buying them video games. I'm getting them to fly here. We got a nice house. Everything's good. I'm giving him what he wants. He's got a great life. Like every kid should fucking be happy with. Yeah. But you don't know if that's what makes him happy. Like, look at you. It didn't make you happy that your dad was doing those things. It would have made you more happy if he was there.
That's a fact. No, that's
but in
a fact.
His mind, he's thinking, you're happy. You got a good life. You're safe. You're healthy. You got a house. Shut the fuck up. You should be happy, right? In his mind. But they don't know inside. Maybe you're dying inside because you need something else that they don't know that you need because they're busy giving you the happy that they think you want.
That we don't care about.
Yeah, no. My new show starts on the Oprah Network next week.
No, I think it's true, though, because I think like for me, you know, I used to be happy with the byproducts of him not showing up. Like, I knew he was going to be home, but I knew that since he didn't come to the graduation, I had a nice little envelope. You know what I mean? It was almost like the Band-Aid was the cash. And I did a disservice to him by not telling him, but, you know, I was a child. All I cared about was the gift, you know, the gift that came with it, because I knew his presence was going to be there anyway for the rest of the time. And that's how I shielded it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
man.
I want to hit you with go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I want to hit you with one more question, because I know you're a busy dude. You know, you're doing the video games now with Xset and Greg Selko, right? How do you continuously do things and still make sure that fatherhood is lit for you? Like, how do you keep it interesting and fun for you? Because the kids just keep growing.
Because just like I was saying, you compartmentalize and you separate, say, like the tumultuous relationship where you have with your kid's mother, you separate that from your relationship with your kid. Whatever I'm doing in life, whatever job I'm doing, is separate from my relationship with my kid. So it doesn't interfere or get in the way, because they're both a priority. And that goes back to earlier when I was talking about time management, and you know, just being mindful of these things. So when people say like, "Oh, this," like, I tonight I'll be with my girl and hanging out because it's what I want to do, and because it's a priority, and because I love her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like when people say like, "Oh, I got all this work." Dude, we all got work. You know what else we have too? Families, people that care about us. You know what I mean? So it's like, how can you neglect that? Everybody starts off saying, "I want the house. I want a beautiful girl. I want a car. I want a job." Then you get, "I got a beautiful girl." Do you think that I'm going to sit there and like risk losing it because now I'm chasing that never ending happiness that I was talking about people are chasing? I got the wife of my dreams. Like, I'm not going to fuck it up.
And that's what most people. It goes back to what you were saying earlier. You found happiness. And when you find happiness, now the priorities that you need to take care of first, they just rise up there because everything else doesn't matter. Like, you're good now.
When people get what they say that will make them happy, it's a lie. Because now they're chasing more happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's why guys cheat. It's like, "Oh, man, I got this girl. She's so fly." Then what happens? Like, I don't know. You get bored of her. You guys get into a fight.
You get a DM from an IG model.
I'm going to go fuck some other chick because, you know, I'm in a whack week with my girl. Like, this is the girl you were chasing. This is the girl you wanted. It's the girl of your dreams. She's not perfect, just like you're not perfect. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, what the fuck? You're going to ruin the perfect thing that you were chasing for something else that, I don't know. I just don't understand it.
Nah, I feel you because when people ask me all the time, like I had my boy Devo Springsteen, who's the co-founder of Good Music with Kanye, and he told me, "James, man, I look at your profile and I ask myself, how the hell does he get to do all of this with his family while still running a business?" And I told, my answer to him was real simple. I got everything I wanted already. Like, I got my house, I got the car, I got my wife. Yo, the only thing left is me being completely happy with my kids, bro. They're the number one priority. That's it.
That's the answer. The reason why you have time is because you've secured all of the things that make you happy. So every time, so now that's all a bundle, right? And then going out and getting your job, that's over here. And then everything else. So what happens with guys like that to say that is because they got to go have time with their friends on the golf course. They got to go chase other chicks. They got to go, you know, do this thing over here and do that. It's like, yo, you're chasing mad shit. That's taking away from the thing that makes you the most happy and the thing that you wanted and loved the most.
Yeah, And time waits for nobody, man. Time waits for nobody. So it's, to me, it's like, man, I'm going to go enjoy my life with my kids now, because I could be walking down Manhattan and get hit by a yellow cab, man, and it could be over.
I teach my son that all the time.
You know what I mean? Like life is precious, bro.
Don't assume that this is tomorrow, man. He gets mad sometimes. He's like, Dad, why do you say things so morbid? And I'm like, I'm not. Like, I literally could get on the highway today and die, and that's it. So get over here and give me a hug.
Yeah, it's a fact. It's a fact. And it's uncontrollable. You know what I mean? It's something you can't control. You know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, man. And I know we could go on for days. I just want to know, how can people get in contact with you? Because I did it the slick way. I want to know how others could get in contact with you, man.
At ClintonSparks.com, if you're talking business, if you're just trying to connect with me online, at Clinton Sparks on all socials, at Clinton Sparks on socials. And don't forget, the principles and values we're talking about on this call are infused in my new book, How to Win Big in the Music Business. It's called How to Win Big in the Music Business, but it's not just about the music business, it's really about how to win big in life. Yeah. You can get that at InnovationMusic.com.
Can you repeat that? It broke up.
Winbiginmusic.com.
And I'll
winbiginmusic.com.
Yep. And shout out to Wifey, man, because Wifey made this possible, man. So shout out to her, bro, for real. Tell her thank you for me.
When you said that, she's walking by raising the roof.
That's right. Turn up. Well, Clinton, man, dogs, I truly appreciate your time, man. I know it's Friday. You're about to get it in. I know you guys were working hard this week. I don't know how to tell you thank you anymore, bro. Like, I truly appreciate this. Like, you taking the time to talk to me and educate the community, bro, is big, man. And I truly appreciate it.
I will accept your because you're a great dad. So that's your thank you enough, being a president.
That's right. Presence over presence, bro. All day long.
Yeah, I appreciate you, brother.
For sure. To the community. When you want more, you do more. And sometimes doing more will get you busier than you ever were before in life. But you can still make time for your kids and make your presence felt like a G. We just got familiar with someone always on the move, but that's always making his presence felt. Salute to Clinton Sparks, and remember, fatherhood is lit. Clinton, thank you once again, bro.
And get familiar.
Get familiar, bro. You know I had to throw that in the intro and the outro, man.